Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. And joining us now on the Stanley Pence and Gates Hotline is the one, the only, Steve Forbes, the head coach of East Tennessee State University, the Buccaneers men's basketball program. And no doubt about it, tonight we'd all love to be seeing somebody cut down the nets. And I guess there was it was one simulation that had you guys playing for the national championship. Is that right, Steve?
I would believe that was what you would call a simulation, yes. I heard about it. Didn't really get a coach in that game, but, it's like my first, I think the first couple days after they canceled the tournament, they were doing these simulation tournaments, and we got to the national championship against Kentucky, and unfortunately got beat. And I almost called Coach Calipari to congratulate him, but I figured he didn't know we were playing, so... I just kind of haven't really paid a lot of attention to those things, guys.
I can certainly understand. And one thing that has stood out, and I very much, and I think so many people appreciate, is how connected you've been with such an uneven and unknown landscape that continues to swirl about. You've been positive, you've been humorous, and you've been, I think, a fantastic outlet for many. What has it been like in these unprecedented times to just connect as you have with so many?
Well, it's really been busy, John, to be honest. I've gotten a lot. It seems like I get more done at home than I do in the office, I guess because you're not interrupted very much. But, I tried to keep it my glass half full most of my life, and it was obviously a bad thing for us not to be able to go to the tournament, but there were so many other positive things that came out of the season. I felt like it was important to highlight those things instead of, worry about the negative. And so I've been able to, there's been a lot of interviews. There's been a lot of, I did a couple clinics online. I didn't even know you could do that. I did some podcasts. I figured out how to use Zoom. When I was a kid, Zoom was a PBS television show like Sesame Street. I didn't know Zoom was something you could do with people, and so learned a lot. It's a tough time. Had a good friend of mine there in Knoxville, Maury Hanks, who's a scout for the Pistons, and he had a tough fight with coronavirus and touch and go there for a while, but thank God he made it through. And so it's really been an interesting times, and I don't think it's over yet.
Yeah, you mentioned Maury Hanks. He's out of the hospital, I understand, right?
Yeah. He is. He's home. He's actually – it's probably – coronavirus is probably the only thing that could ever really shut him up, to be honest.
That's what I've heard.
So I'm going to have to listen to that for the rest of my life. I'm excited that he fought that and won that battle, because – it was a tough battle, and it's something that, I think, until maybe you don't think it's real. I don't know. I know it is. And when it hits close to home, it really puts a little more perspective into things.
What were the online clinics like?
Jimmy, it was a little strange, to be honest with you. But there was a lot of people online. There was, a couple hundred people online. There was a moderator. There's really a lot of things you can do nowadays. You can actually draw. You can show video. I'm not that advanced, so I just did mostly. I just talked for about 45 minutes. I did have some handouts. It actually was actually kind of interesting to do it that way. Normally those things are done, in a gym with somebody else's team, and you walk them through the things that you want to do. So you don't really have that experience. But for what we're doing right now, it was probably a pretty cool thing, and there's a lot of knowledge being passed around right now in basketball, I think, because of the situation that we're in where we can't go anywhere. And so basically all you have time to do is do these type of things or, be on the phone and recruit.
I know you wanted your outstanding seniors to have a chance to play another year at ETSU. The NCAA denied that. Were you – very disappointed in that, or is that a result that you expected?
Oh, both. I expected it, and I'm very disappointed. I'm disappointed in the NCAA because I think it's awesome that they gave the spring sports, their year back, but they're not paying for it. The school has to figure it out is the way I read it. So if they're not going to pay for the spring sports, why would you worry about the winter sports? You know, if we decided that that's what we wanted to do as an institution, then why couldn't we bring back our seniors? And quite frankly, I could have brought back my seniors on top of the really good player that we signed early, and I still would have been within 13 scholarships. I wouldn't even have been over, you know. But that's the problem. The reality of it is, guys, there's really only about 75 teams in the country that really like their seniors. The rest of those guys didn't make the tournament, didn't make postseason play. They're moving on to the next year. They've already recruited, especially the high major schools, because most high major schools get a lot of their recruiting done in the fall. We don't normally do that. And so, you know, they were going to have to deal with the roster management. So I'm sure there was a lot of people that were against it. I get it. I understand it. But disappointed, yeah. I would have liked to have let it have been our decision if we wanted to pay for it, if we wanted to bring them back, and give them the opportunity.
Our guest, Steve Forbes, as he joins us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline. Coach, not only have you shared what it's like getting used to Zoom, but also Zoom etiquette. Dirty dishes go on the left side of the sink, right?
Well, I guess. That's what I've been told. There's not a lot of respect in this household, okay? I don't, you know, I'm not home a lot in March and in April, you know, so I think it changed or something. You know, before, I guess maybe in March and April it goes on the left side. I don't know. You know, it was my birthday the other day, and my 15-year-old dog took a dump in my shoes. I mean, I've had a rough go over here in the house. So I've learned how to paint again. I know how to vacuum and dust. And, you know, I'm really kind of running out of projects here. So I don't know. Hopefully things will break here. I don't think they're going to. I had a meeting with my staff this morning, guys. I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see our team now. I'm talking about our basketball players until August. I'd be really surprised. I don't see us being able to bring them to summer school. Maybe July, maybe. I think that's best case scenario. But I think for us, we may not be seeing our players again until August.
Boy, certainly hope that's not the case, but also hope that for sure that is the case, because you think that the other side of that coin could be even longer term. But what has it been like, just to make sure that guys are safe and sound, doing what they need to be doing, whether it be with the classroom or staying in shape?
Yeah. You know, Jimmy John, I don't do a lot in the spring after the season's over with as far as basketball is concerned. I mean, it's such a long season. Basketball starts really full bore in June and goes all the way to March, and it's a long time. So once the season's over here, we do a little bit. We lift, but they don't see a lot of me on the court. So basically it really hasn't changed a whole lot, except for I just don't get to see my guys every day. So basically what you just said, we've been monitoring their academics the best we can. You know, we only got two kids that are here in the apartments. Everybody else is home. You know, I don't expect them to work out. If they want to, they can. I'm not monitoring that by no means. I don't think this is the time for it. I think that they don't need that kind of pressure right now. They need to have the peace of mind that they need to be safe, and they need to, you know, work on their academics. And so I haven't pushed the basketball portion of it. It's still going to be there when this all passes. And so really it's kind of been for me, as far as just my players, kind of status quo, just not the fact that they're not here with us every day and having conversation with them face-to-face.
Steve, what are your thoughts on the ESPN player bracket?
You know, I haven't really paid attention to it. Who's in it? To be honest, is that the one we're trying to figure out who the best player is in college basketball? Is that the one?
No, this is the one where at the end they got Kevin Durant and Sabonis and Mitchell and some other players that are playing each other. A lot of the games have been routes.
Yeah, I haven't paid any. I don't mean to be disrespectful. I haven't even paid one second. I haven't paid any attention to it. I'm more into some Netflix or some Amazon Prime or you know, trying to actually read a couple books maybe and trying to expand my mind a little bit than worrying about Durant playing Sabonis. But I did see something the other day that they were trying to figure out who the best – they said Jordan. Somebody did a poll that Jordan was the best college player of all time.
Right.
That's a joke. I mean, and I'm the biggest Jordan fan there is, but he's way no better than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, not even close. I mean,
correct.
As far as college is concerned, I thought maybe you were talking about that, but I haven't seen that. I haven't seen. There's so many things. I mean, obviously, people, you know, are bored. They got to come up with things to do, but I haven't really, I haven't paid any attention to that one. Sorry.
Well, to your point on that, and I agree with you. I would have had Jabbar. They had Maravich as a 13 seed, which I thought was absurd. Michael Jordan beat Larry Bird in the final, so that's what it got down to. I think Jordan was a 2 seed and Bird was a 3 seed, I think. But Shaquille O'Neal in the round of 32 knocked out Jabbar, which
man,
I thought.
Come on, man. Yeah. I mean, first of all, where's Walton? Where's Walton at? I mean, Walton's got to be right there in the Final Four. I mean, Walton played the national championship game against Memphis State at that time and missed one shot and didn't get a dunk it. I mean, I got guys that can't go 21 for 22 by themselves in the gym with nobody guarding them, let alone the guy. You know, man, that, come on. I mean, that guy, Bill Walton's one of the best college basketball players ever.
Yep.
You know, and so, I mean, I didn't see that. I kind of wish I would have, but, you know, those things probably turn into popularity contests, you know, and that's probably why, you know, right after we weren't able to make the tournament, it's probably why we made a run to the Final Four against Kentucky, because I think our fans were so distraught that they needed something to, you know, put their mind on. I think they just outclicked everybody that weekend on their phone. But, you know, but you got to give our fans credit. I mean, they're just awesome. I mean, they, you know, they got behind. They've been behind our program since we've been here, but even more so this year. They, you know, we sold out the SoCon tournament, and 90% of that was our fans. And so you got to give them credit for really getting behind our program.
Tell me the difference in recruiting at ETSU right now versus the first year you got there.
Well, more people pick up our, you know, more people don't put, ignore when somebody calls somebody they don't want to talk to, and they hit ignore or whatever that is. Or we don't get that as much. I mean, I think more people are picking up our phone calls, but that doesn't mean that we're changing about who we are. You know, and I went through this at Wichita. I went to work for Coach Marshall after we went to the Final Four, and I asked Coach that. I said, do you think our profile's changed? And he kind of felt like it had. And I said, Coach, I don't think it will. I mean, I don't think we're going to sign McDonald's All-American just because you go to the Final Four. And who we are is who we are, and there's nothing wrong with it. And that's kind of the same thing with us. Who we are is who we are. We're a program that's going to sign some really good high school players, some good transfers, some good JUCO players, and some fifth-year guys. And that's kind of where it's at right now. And, you know, it's kind of gone back to old school guys. When I started out at Southwestern Community College in 89, didn't have a recruiting budget, so everything was pretty much done by the phone. You know, and so you're pretty much on the phone 24/7 with these kids. I'm sure the kids are probably like, dang, I'm tired of this. I'd rather go to school than have to listen to these guys call me all day long, you know, and text. And then social media or technology's changed so much. You know, we have an unbelievable video presentation that we can send out, you know, to the kids. And so all those things, to answer your question, with the success that we've had, 130 wins in 5 years, yeah. You know, we got some different level guys paying attention, but there's always going to be a ceiling to that just based on who we are and where we're at.
Steve, before we let you go, did see, and congratulations belatedly on being named the Hugh Durham Award winner as the National Coach of the Year. And I'm just wondering, I know it wouldn't be your name on it if it weren't for a great staff and fantastic players, but tell me, what did it mean to you to see your program as well as yourself recognized that way?
Well, those things are always a tremendous honor, but you're right. I mean, they're always – the reason those things happen is because it's a combination of great players, great chemistry, and then tremendous staff. And you guys know my staff. You know how good they are. Jason Shea, Brooke Savage, all, you know, Tennessee guys with me back in those days. B.J. Mackey, still the all-time leading scorer in the history of, you know, Gamecock basketball. And, you know, tremendous player, tremendous coach. Frank Davis played at Tennessee Tech. I mean, I had really good – Mike Starkey was at Tennessee after I was there, strength training coach. Just some really great people. And so, yeah, I'm as honored I got to know Coach Durham just a little bit when I started coaching. I got to know his son even better, Doug. So anytime I think you can get those things happen, it's a tremendous honor. You know, I'd much rather listen to Sonny Smith and Hugh and Wimp Sanderson tell recruiting stories than win his award, but I'll take his award and be real, real happy. But anytime you can get Sonny and Hugh and Wimp in the same room together, it's well worth the price of admission. I can promise you that. I've heard those stories before, and it was a tremendous honor to get that for sure.
Coach, we sure do appreciate it. Thank you very, very much, and we look forward to catching up with you again soon. Stay safe, and best of luck to you, your program, your players, and everybody.
Well, guys, it's always a pleasure, and you guys stay safe as well, and keep everybody in Knoxville happy down there. I'm sure they're hungry for some information. I know you guys will be on top of it, and if you need me again, let me know.
Sure will. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
That's Steve Forbes, ETSU men's basketball coach, joining us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline.